Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to
Lick More Jones.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Family, yes, indeed. It's so much trouble in the world. In the world, it is. Bob Marley, y'all, the late, great Bob Marley. And the Wailers, man. So much trouble in the world. But, hey, we're going to do our best to try to keep it down as much as we can. Especially, we might not can take it all the way out of the trouble, all the way out of the world, but we got to take some of this trouble out of our lives. How y'all doing out there, sisters and brothers? How are y'all doing out there, sisters and brothers? I hope y'all are hearing me just fine. I'm trying to monitor myself, make sure I don't have any problems and stuttering problems in the mic. I hear a little bit of stuttering sounds in my earplugs, earbuds, but I hope they're just my phone just doing it, cutting up. I hope so. But by the way, thank y'all always for tuning in right here and joining in to Culture Freedom Radio Network, most definitely up in this house. Like I said, you can always catch all the archived episodes right there on the distributing sites such as iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and much, much more. You can catch these episodes and podcasts right here for Culture Freedom Radio Network. Those of you who don't know, and those of you who probably do know, I am your host. I am your brother, who goes by the title of Brother Aria Yahavada Yasha, most definitely also known to you, for a lot of you, as Brother Sun Ray 9. But shalom and hotip and assalamu alaikum and all of those good salutations to you out there, brothers and sisters. Thank you, like I said, for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio. Man, you know what they got is here? They got this thing called Black History Month. Black History Month. But we always know that Black history is not allocated to just a month. You know, we don't allocate our history to a month because Black history, as they say, is world history. They don't really say it, but we're going to say it. Black history is world history because if it wasn't for people who they call Black folks, you know what I mean, these melanated brothers and sisters like myself, hey, man, there wouldn't be a such thing called history, or we call it our story, because he has his history, and we know his history is always tainted, is always full of lies. Y'all know what I mean by his, don't you? Y'all know who I'm talking about. I ain't got to say it. But today I want to do something right here, man. I want to do a Culture Freedom Radio Black History Month tribute to Fred Hampton, man. Man, the legendary Fred Hampton. You know, some say, may the peace and blessings be upon this brother's soul as well. And, you know, I had nothing on so-called Black history. And I wasn't even really, I told myself I was going to do it like a master mix of all the master teachers, you know, how we mix up different, we'll let music in the back, mix up some things in there with a lot of different master teachers, but then and I really said I wasn't gonna do nothing. But the reason I want to do this here, y'all, now there's a new movie out And I'm going to give my kudos and shout out for this movie, man. And I'm going to say it why. I'll tell y'all why, too. The new movie called, first of all, it's called Judas and the Black Messiah. Have y'all seen it yet? Have y'all seen it? Man, I'm going to tell you, I love it. Now, I don't know. Some of y'all, you know, how some people sometimes they're critical, like, man, damn that movie. You know, man, I hate that. You know, they trying to exploit this, that, and that. But I'll tell y'all, those of y'all might say that. Some of y'all might not. I when I saw it, I didn't know what it was about. And I said, oh, man, I don't want to see, another Black Power movie. Not that, you know, not nothing Black Power movie. I'm like, man, I'm just tired of always seeing it. And they always just trying to show this and that, and you know. But I'm glad I watched it, though. I'm glad I watched it. And the reason I'm saying, y'all, I give shout-outs to it because I learned a lot about Fred Hampton. What you mean, Brother Ari? How you, man, you been a part, you was around in the Black Power movement, and you didn't learn about Fred. Yeah, what I'm going to tell y'all, man. See, I know some things about the Black Panthers and Black. Now, I know, heard a lot about, you know, Brother Huey P. Newton and, you know, just the Black, the party called Black Panther Party. But I've heard of Fred Hampton, but I never, you know how you look, you never do research into a person and really just know what they're about. That's what it was. I've heard of Fred Hampton, but I never listened to any of his speeches or nothing like that. There's a lot of them out there, man. Even Bobby Seals. I've heard him did an interview before on Sister Nikki Love show a long time ago. And I never really listened to too much of Huey P. Newton, be honest, y'all. Be honest. I had to be honest. I seen an interview with him on YouTube. He did with some more people. But anyway, by the way, so I want to do this one, man, because I learned a lot from that movie. And it gave, you know, because I wouldn't have looked into Fred Hampton. I'm going to be honest. I'm just trying to lay it on the line. I probably wouldn't have, even though the history is out there about him. But that movie shows some insight and a lot of other things, right? And let me throw this out here, because I got some clips I'm going to play. I'm just not going to talk. And I got some clips I'm going to play, a couple of clips. And it's not going to be a long broadcast today. But, you know, there was some stuff that we know through the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that he taught about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil, right? Some of y'all have heard me say this several times. He taught us about the blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil. But there was another teacher who I also studied under and learned a lot from. He went by the name, hell, he goes by the name of Dr. Malachi Z. York. Y'all know him. Y'all know him. Dr. York, right? He wrote a book called The Black Devil. The Black Devil. He said, and he had the things that we see you, Black Devil. Now, we truly do. We have to see you, Black Devil. And y'all have to realize there are Black Devils. Now, I'm not talking about nobody, no pitch running around here, no red suit, no pitchfork or nothing. No, y'all know that. We know that. And we're not talking about devil as in like a, as they say, in a religious term. You know, but, you know, some say a devil can be an adversary. An adversary. That's what we say. Like in the Hebrew, he's an adversary. So, yeah, if you're going against your brothers and sisters or even the so-called white man or black man, you're going against the righteous, you are an adversary. Yeah, you truly are an adversary. But anyway, there are black devils. And when I'm going with this black devil, because the great thing that our brother Fred Hampton was trying to do in uniting the people on all fronts, just poor, the poor, the despised, and the rejected people, right? He was trying to unite them, whether they were so-called blacks, the Latino brothers, the hell, even some poor whites. I liked it in the movie where it showed, and I don't want to be telling the movie, but I like a part when he showed in the movie, he went to the Klan, like a racist Klan meeting, right? He had the rebel flags and went in there and told them the truth about how they're even being exploited. They got you, the elites or whatnot, of the pawns on the top of the ladder. They have us fighting with this racism bull crap. And then you got a lot of poor white folks around here. They want to be racist and all that. They ain't got a pot to piss in the winter. throw out of. But they, you know, the government is using and abusing them, and it's like they doing us. They got to be on welfare. They got them on welfare, and they don't give a damn about them, just like they don't give a damn about us. But then they have them playing the race card. You ain't no goddamn better than us. You know what I'm saying? Just because you think, okay, you better than us because your skin complexion, still as hell too. You still being played. So, but anyway, he showed that, and he went in there. How I like how he went in there and he galvanized them and laid it out to them, told them the goddamn truth. And I like that more, man. I like it more because it showed me a lot. But going back to the Black Devil thing, and it showed how this Black Devil who set Fred Hampton up, who set him up. Y'all know he was an FBI informant, William O'Neill. Y'all heard that before, William O'Neill. Like I said, I kind of briefly heard these stories of y'all, but like I said, I never really got into it. But William O'Neill, Black Devil. And someone, I'm going to say, he was a victim as well. He was a victim, and I know just if I disagree, but he was a victim, and our brother Fred Hampton was a victim. Both of them was a victim of this wicked-ass beast, this racist, of the racist society and a systematic society, and also this devious, deceptive-ass. And the government can be so deceptive. People in places in the government can be so goddamn deceptive. And both of them were being victim. They can catch us in our lower state, as they say a devil does, right? But that brother, William O'Neill, reason I say that because they caught him in a state. And this is what happened when y'all see that movie. A lot of brothers get caught up like that. This is how a lot of people get to be informants, because they catch them out there, right? Like the feds or here, just, you know, probably don't even catch a fed case. But supposedly like the feds, they'll catch these brothers that do a crime and be looking at some major time. And they'll come to them with a damn deal. Well, look at here. If you do something for us, we'll do something for you. So basically they were dangling that William O'Neill time on his head because, you know, he stole a car. Grand Theft Auto. I think that's what was the charge. And he was looking at federal time. So they dangled this over his head, how much time he can go to jail. And if you don't, you want to go to jail, do this for us. Do us this favor for it. They might start off some small. You know, tell us who went in the store and stole this bag of chips. You know, some small. That just to get you, okay. Once you do that, they're going to put your ass, they're going to start asking for more information. Okay, now you know you don't do it now. You're going to be facing these 50 years in fed. You know, and you're going to have to do 48 of them years. You're going to be thinking like, damn, man, I got wife, I got children, I got so-and-so. Aye, man, damn. So now you got to go in and tell who not only stole the bag of chips, now you got to go in and stole who stole all the goddamn, who been stealing the jungle juices and the ice cream and all of that shit, too. See, they want more and more. They just, you know, y'all see what a picture I'm trying to see, get to, right? And that's what they did with William O'Neill. And it said that he killed himself. He actually committed suicide. Like Judas. Just like Judas. That's why they call that movie Judas and the Black Messiah. And another thing, and I'm going to get to some of these clips, that brother Fred Hampton, right? But just like a Messiah, he's supposed to come. No, that's what I'm trying to go to, y'all. Excuse me. And J. Edgar Hoover, as they say, Gay Edgar Hoover, they was, I didn't say that, y'all. That's what they said about the man. How we heard that he said they want to stop the rise of another Black Messiah, right? Or the Black Messiah. And they, don't y'all, you better believe they still doing this to this very day. If you try to come and galvanize the people, and like Dr. King was trying to go after they did the civil rights thing, he wanted to do a poor people campaign. You didn't give a damn what was your skin color. You just talk about when you do a poor people's campaign. Poor people. Let's raise up the poor people, man. You know, you got to go. You got to go. You can't do that. And you raise the people up, and they rise the people up so they can be united under one banner and realize that we all are being played. You know, just, you know, black, white, turquoise, yellow, green. But especially if you try to do this to the black and the brown, uniting them, oh, man. And the thing about it, like they said, man, there'll never be another black messiah I'm just going to use it, another black messiah unless we create him. That's what y'all better pay attention. Unless we create him. Just like that thing, y'all look it up, it's called control opposition. Control opposition. So that's what we've seen a lot of that in 2020 and other times that I kept telling y'all about right here when y'all was seeing all these other movements that was going on, Black Lives Matter and all of this, which they didn't give a damn about your black life because, you know, it was all a political front. And a lot of that money that was raising, y'all know that went to a lot of these Democratic elections and shit like that to fund them. It didn't have we still ain't got shit, y'all, in the black community. So it was a front group and all of this type of stuff, right? But anyway, if you see some of these people out in the front, you better be leery of them. You better be kind of leery. Keep your eyes open to wonder, have they been put out there to be the front, to be that front messiah? Huh? Oh, see, the game is so slick, y'all. The game is so smooth. You don't pay attention. You don't know who's who. That's what they say. We don't know who's who. Because they will put leaders in front of you. They will put leaders in front of you, saying the good shit that you need to hear or the things that you want to hear. That's how they break you in. That's how the devil does. Like they said, the devil does. The adversary, he going to say some shit that you want to hear. He going to come to you with what he know you like. That's how he going to bait you in. He get you comfortable, get you relaxed, saying some stuff that you want to hear. And in the end, boy, the deception is going to slide right on in. But let's get into this, man. I want to, like I said, give my tribute to right here to Brother Fred Hampton, man. The chairman, he was called the chairman, Fred Hampton. And I heard his son before. I've heard his son on Fred Hampton Jr. I heard him on, for the first time on Brother Judge Joe Brown's show. I heard an interview with him on there. Out to Brother Judge Joe Brown. So he's a chairman now, and he's doing some great works in this community. What do you say, like father, like son, following in the footsteps of his father. So peace out to that brother right there, Brother Fred Hampton Jr., man, still trying to keep the work going of galvanizing the people and fighting for the freedom and fighting for the rights of the people. Is to say, power to the people, not the fucking government, not these corrupt ass governments that we're seeing that's out here today, like the Nancy Pelosi's and all of them, the Chuck Schumer's and the shit that we're seeing going on in Washington, D.C. and all of this stuff where they're taking the power from the people and putting the people in the power in their hands. It ain't about the people. We've been seeing that shit. It ain't about the people. It's about these people that's in these political offices that you gave them the power by voting for their regular ass in there. And I don't even really know if we voted for them no more. I mean, be honest. If you really voted to put them in there, you went through the process, but did you actually vote for them to get them in there? I better watch that because I know they're censoring people so much about this voting shit lately. But let's get this here, man. Shout out. I said salute. Black Power salute to our brother Fred Hampton, man. Let's play some of this interview, man, going back from ABC News, with Brother Fred Hampton. Let's hear it, man. This brother was a poet, man. He was really poetic in his speech, man. I like to hear this brother talk, man. This brother is poetic. I'm telling you, man. He got that, you know how like Dolomite, not crazy like Dolomite, but it's just that smoothness, man, and power, the word that he's saying, though. It's powerful, but it's poetic at the same time. A black power poet. Let's listen, brother. Let's see. I see why a lot of people like this brother. And that brother was only 21 years of age. And let me say that to y'all. Let me specify that again. The brother was only 21 years old. Y'all hear me? For my young brothers out here that's acting a damn fool out here in these goddamn streets, listen here. All these moving, all these people that you heard about, the Dr. Kings and the Brother Malcolms and stuff, brothers, Come on now. They were young, brother. These brothers, man, they might have died in their 30s or something like that, in their upper age. They weren't even that old, though, when they died. But they started off young. These things, these movements that we've seen, brothers and sisters, it was started off by young folks. Young folk. Felt one in their 50s. They were young. Brother Fred Hampton, man, was murdered at 21 years of age. I don't know how old he was when he got started. But if he was 21 when he got murdered, I know he had started at an early age. So young brothers, I'm trying to say this is, man, y'all be inspired by brothers like Fred. Have to know that the role that y'all out here doing now and killing and slaughtering each other, man, y'all can be a Fred Hampton. You can be the Huey P. News. You can be the leader. You can not just the leader, but you can be the force that we need to help the good fight. Not fight, getting out here fighting on the fight that y'all fighting over, but fight the good fight to free and liberate the people, man. At 19, 17 years of age. But I know what society have done, and they have what they have put out, and how they have programmed you to think the way that you're thinking and do the stuff that you're doing. But just look at it, Brother Fred Hampton, 21 years of age, had the government shook, had the FBI so damn scared of his power and the words that he was speaking to the hearts of the people, they had to kill him. It wasn't that he was out here shooting up police. He wasn't out here assassinating politicians. He was galvanizing people. He was feeding, had food programs, feeding the babies, man. He was putting stuff together, tangible for the people. And it scared the hell out of the, and had the status quo them so goddamn scared they had to kill him. So they show y'all, man, when they're trying to lie and say somebody's trying to go out here and assassinate a president or overthrow a government, that, a lot of that's a lie. They scared because would kill you if you try to unite the people. That's enough to scare the hell out of them people, man. Because when y'all get these people up, too many people start to waking up. That's people they can't control. And that's why they were scared of Brother Fred Hampton and the power he had of uniting the people. Let's play an interview right fast, brothers.
Now, Fred, where does the Black Panther Party stand concerning the Weathermen, the SDS?
We stand way back from the SDS and the Weathermen, because we believe that the Weathermen action is two actions. It's REM 2 and Weathermen. We think they could call them both national action. We think that REM 2 is national action, Weathermen is national reaction, you know. We think it is anarchistic, opportunistic, individualistic, it's chauvinistic, it's custeristic, and that's the bad part about it. It's custeristic in that it's leaders take people into situations where the people can be massacred, and they call that revolution. And it's nothing but child's play, it's folly, and it's criminal because people can be hurt. We say that they're doing exactly what the pigs want them to do. When they take people down and just do nothing, play around, and the pigs are prepared for this, and they'll wipe all of those young people out. We think these people may be sincere, but they're misguided, they're muddle heads, and they're scatterbrains. The only way we can show them is to criticize them like we're doing right now, and then leave from here and go to the federal bill and have a demonstration that's to educate, a demonstration that is disciplined and organized, you know. And that's what we're going to have to do, and let them see the example.
Tell me why you feel the approach of the SDS weatherman is wrong.
I feel it is wrong, just as I said before.
No, don't tell me just you said before. That's why I asked you again. Just answer straight, because okay, in case we use this part.
Let me ask you again.
Why do you feel that the approach of the SDS weatherman is the wrong approach?
I feel that it's wrong because it's pig action. They're doing exactly what the pigs want them to do. They're leading people into a situation where it's an astronomical situation, too great for the people to deal with. It's a situation where you've got a bunch of mechanical pigs with 357 magnums and shotguns and mechanical mace and all that type of thing. And then they're talking about they're going to carry on a revolutionary struggle. That's not revolution. It's insanity. It's a madness. It's nostalgia. And it's a massacre. That's what it's potential massacre. That's what it is. And we don't support that because we say all power to the people. All the power is manifested in the people. We don't have any people whose lives we believe that should be thrown away.
Has the Weatherman SDS tried to get you to go on their side? Have you met with them, and what happened?
We met with the Weatherman faction of SDS several times. We've had ideological struggles, and we have ideological differences. So what we did was we had the other faction of SDS that agreed with the Black Panther Party called for an alternate action, a well-disciplined action not to provoke pigs, an action not to talk about setting up confrontations with the pigs, because the people are not ready for confrontations. These confrontations that they have are premature. They're politically premature, and they're wrong because they commit people in a situation which they're not anywhere prepared for.
Well, why do you think the Weatherman SDS tried to link the Black Panther Party to its movement?
I don't know if it was actually the Weathermen of SDS. I'd have to say that it was the establishment press that is nothing but a tool of Warden Nixon's machine. We call him Warden Nixon because the whole world is a penitentiary, and he's just a warden of the whole world. And you see, these people are just an arm that he uses for fascist oppression, you know. And I think today, these fascist news media might have did that.
Now, briefly, how would you sum up what the Weatherman SDS is trying to do and what you think of what they're trying to do?
I'd say that basically they believe that white people need to learn how to struggle, that they believe that these white workers need to learn how to struggle through confrontations. I'd have to say that basically I believe that this is incorrect. I believe that white workers have been struggling. They're some of the most violent people in the world. I believe that what they need is they need a redirection in their ideology and in their politics. They need to know who to struggle against. The workers need to start to begin to learn that their job is to struggle against the bosses. And until they do this, then struggle is incorrect. It's like no struggle at all. We say that if you don't struggle correctly, you shouldn't struggle. But you should struggle. We said dare to struggle and you dare to win. Dare not to struggle and you don't deserve to win. But we have to struggle properly.
What about the special approach of Weatherman, which seems to be violence?
Well, you see, I don't think it's really violence, you know what I mean? I think it's just a lot of folly. It's a lot of child's play. I think that to have violence, you've got to be able to cope with violence, you know what I mean? And that's what the Black Panther Party, a lot of people say we're violent. We're a self-defense organization that believes that the people should be educated to what's going on. We do defend our offices and we do defend our homes. This is a constitutional right. Everybody has it. Nothing funny about that. The only reason they get mad at the Black Panther Party when they do it is for the simple reason that we're political. And they don't want to admit this. There are a lot of young organizations around, but we are a political organization. We're an organization that understands that politics is nothing but war without bloodshed and war is nothing but politics with bloodshed. That it's just like you stretch something and it goes, you can stretch things, they're going to be in another thing. If you stretch politics so long, it'll be war. And that's where we're at.
Well, then why do you feel it's so important for the Black Panther Party to disavow any real link with the Weatherman SDS?
I think it's important because there are a lot of people that watch the Black Panther Party, for example. They observe us and participate with us. And if we can be connected up with this, then it would be very unadvantageous to the people and it would be very unadvantageous to the struggle, in that people that claim to be revolutionary would be going down roads that they think might be revolution, but in fact they're not roads of revolution. They'll be going east when their intentions are going west. And also it's important because Chairman Bobby Seale is in town, and he's being tried by this fascist judge, Adolf Hitler Hoffman, you know. And he's being tried without a lawyer. And we've got to bring all of the attention and focus on this trial that we possibly can so that people can understand that these people are more capable of building gas chambers than Hitler ever was capable of building gas chambers. And we're going to have to get together. We're going to have some anti-gas chamber marches and some anti-fascism marches and some anti-Hitler-Hoffman marches and some anti-Mussolini Attorney General Mitchell marches and some anti-Daley and some anti-Hammerhead-Hammerhead marches. These are the things we're going to have to do. The people need to be educated. If they're educated, we can resist and we can stop this fascism.
Okay. All right. Thanks for giving
okay.
us a shot.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
That's too hot, Bill. Too hot?
All right. So.
Fred, the Weatherman branch of the SDS seems to be giving the impression that the Black Panther Party is with them.
No, the Black Panther Party is not with Weatherman. Let me explain very clearly that we believe that action like that is action of insanity. It's not a revolution even. You see, going out in the streets and getting people shot and killed and maimed, that's insanity. It chauvinistic and it's custeristic. And when we say custeristic, we mean it's a type of action on the part of a leadership that would lead people into the same thing that Custer led them in. We believe that all action around that Weatherman faction is going to turn out to be the Little Bighorn. And we're not getting involved in any Little Bighorns in the city of Chicago. The Black Panther Party intends to support anything that is disciplined, anything that does not provoke violence on the part of the pig power structure, because this is what they want to do. They want to kill some people. And these leaders are nothing but leaders who have custeristic tendencies. They will lead people into slaughters. And we think that that's it's criminal to the people. It's a crime against the people.
Cut it for a minute. That's real good. Now I want to put it just one other way. I'm going to ask you, why don't you... Fred, why doesn't the Black Panther Party support the tactics of the Weatherman SDS?
We don't support those tactics because they are acts of provocation and they're acts that the pigs, the policemen in the city, enjoy. They're doing just what the police want them to do. Our actions are just the opposite from that. We are educating the people to the wrongs that the pigs commit to the fascists around the country, and I think that's the proper way to do the thing.
Has the Weatherman tried to curry favor with the Black Panthers?
Right. We've had several discussions with the Weathermen. We've tried to talk them out of a lot of the anarchistic demonstrations that they have planned here. We tell them that we don't believe in demonstration for the sake of demonstration. We believe in demonstration for the sake of education, and we still go on that basic theory. We believe that people need to be educated if we're ever going to defend ourselves against the fascism that's running rampant in the United States of America and all over the world today.
How violent do you think the Weathermen are looking to become?
I don't think it's really a question of violence. I think we call it muddleheadedness, you know what I mean? I think how muddleheaded will they become is a question. How masochistic and anarchistic will they become, you know what I mean? How much will they enjoy seeing people slaughtered in the streets before they come around and get them a plan of well-disciplined, well-organized type of education demonstration where the people can be saved? We say all power to the people, and all power is manifested in the people. We don't have any people to just throw away and throw their lives away. We think the people that throw the people's lives away in these types of counter-revolutionary folly, those people are criminals, and they should be judged as such. And these people that commit crimes against the people should try them and indict them and sentence them.
Tell me, Fred, because the Black Panther Party feels this way and because the Panthers have been linked with Weathermen through the Weathermen, have you tried in any way to dissuade the Weathermen, to stop them from this kind of tactic?
We've talked to Weathermen time and time again, you know what I mean, and told them that we thought this was wrong. And let me say this, I don't believe these people are, I think they're some sincere people, but I think they're a little mixed up. That's why I be very careful about the word I use. I try to use words like muddle-headed, you know what I mean, and scatterbrains. That's what they are. There's some young people who really have some revolutionary fervor, but they don't know how to direct that fervor. So what we're going to have to do is try to rechannel that into some type of revolutionary discipline. I think if anybody looks at us, we're an example. We try to set examples for the people. The Black Panther Party is the most disciplined organization in the country, and the pigs still attack the Black Panther Party office. So that shows that we're still doing something to the power structure, but we don't have to do it in a way where we put people's lives on the line. That's not necessary, and we try to tell them that.
Okay, tell me what else you want to get off your chest.
I'd like to tell you, there's one thing that's very important to the people, that they see that so-called trial at the federal building is nothing but what I call a hecatomb. It's a public sacrifice where they're slaughtering the leaders of the people, and the only way we're going to stop that is if the people resist that, you know what I mean, because it's not a question of non-violence or violence. It's a question of resistance to fascism, a non-existence. And this is what we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to go down to the federal building and deal with that judge. We call him Judge Adolf Hitler Hoffman, and deal with the Attorney General Mussolini Mitchell. All these people that have these fascist tendencies, they have this society is more technical than the German society ever was. They are going to be a better and more adequate gas chambers, and we've got to be prepared to deal with that. Education is the only way. We've got
okay.
to educate the people.
You got anything else you want to say?
No, not particularly.
All right. Look, just want to do some...
Man. Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. This is Fred Hampton, man. Fred Hampton, man. An interview going back to, I think that was in 1969, man. Woo! Man, y'all see how that brother speak, man? I've listened to that, man. Y'all don't know my brother, man. My brother Umar Sharif down in Jacksonville, Florida, has Masjid El Salam, man. Man, that brother sound, and I was listening to it. Voice sound just alike. And my brother Umar even talk like a man, fast and just smooth and powerful, man. He reminded me my brother Umar Sharif. Yes, sir. Peace and shalom to my brother Umar Sharif down at Masjid El Salam in Jacksonville, Florida. That's Masjid El Salam and Gift Shop, that's a shame, in Jacksonville, Florida. Oh, man. Yes, I'm telling you, man. So, yeah, man, like I said, I watched that movie, and it really inspired me and to look at Fred Hampton, man, and really lose it. Like I said, y'all, I never really just looked into Fred Hampton. I've heard, you know, briefly heard about him, but I never looked at it. You know, I never really researched, like, you know, none of the brothers, like, say, Bobby Seals, brother Huey P. Newton, and none of that. Them personally, you know, you look at the Panthers and you read about it and you try to look at some of what their programs, what they were about, but them on a personal level, I never did. And, you know, and so I never did look at that, man, and about their life. And, you know, I've heard about him, about our brother Fred Hampton, how he was assassinated and all of that. But, you know, I still didn't ever look into none of it and see exactly what happened, man. Yes, sir. Powerful, though, man. And political. And that's the thing about it, man. Like I said, they were a political movement. They didn't have to join no, you know, they didn't run out here and have to join no Democratic Party, because there was some stuff that was with the Democrats at that time. Y'all always hear me going talk about them damn Democrats. They didn't have to run out here and join them. They want to be a party of their own. And because the Democrats are not really for black people to actually really galvanize you and stand for you and truly fight for you. If we want a party, political party, we got to start our own damn party. And it might not just even be put somebody in political office, you know, because they might not. If we start a party, you know, they ain't going to probably vote them in office. Like, you know, there's a dude that's he's up there now. I think he's still in office. Bobby Rush. Y'all know Bobby Rush? I don't know where he's from. I don't know if he's the senator, congressman. I should have looked that up. But he's in political office. He was a Black Panther. He was a Black Panther. Yeah. Bobby Rush. Yes, sir. And most likely he's on the Democratic side. I would tell y'all that. I would tell you that. Yeah, he used to be a Black Panther. Bobby Rush. Look it up, y'all. I've heard that name before. I heard about him before. And I saw that in the movie. And I've saw him before, and I've seen, you know, they said he was a Black Panther before, ex-Black Panther. But I like what they were doing, sisters and brothers, too. Fred Hampton, brother, he was, you know, they had the Panthers in it anyway. How they had the feeding food program, where they were especially were feeding the children and stuff like that. What was it, breakfast? Was it lunch and stuff like that? A lot of y'all know more about it than I do. But it was feeding the children program, man. Feeding the children program, because that's what a lot of stuff I saw, feeding the children. Excellent, way, excellent. And I'm gonna throw this in here, and that's what something in here is has nothing to do with this, but it kind of touch on what they were doing that the church wasn't doing, and by tithing, kind of certain. And I'm not gonna get into a Shabbat class. But that's what the thing, like we said about these churches, right? Because y'all be talking about tithing. That's what tithing really were when you really studied it from the Israelite culture. Is they was like, they had tithe, and it wasn't about no money. It was food. Tithe was actually, man, giving a tenth of your crops and food. And then, you know, to the Levitical priest, and then, or the Kohen. Not priest, but the Kohen. But also, it was to feed, basically, what you would call the poor. So, and those who didn't have, or would say less fortunate, or, you know, kind of like, you know, not, you know, what they call now middle, upper class and middle class and all of this stuff. But, you know, what they call the poor, right? So that's what the Panther was actually doing. They was doing that. So you churches, man, y'all are, boy, I ain't going to say y'all slacking. Y'all ass is way off course. That's what's supposed to be happening. In these times with things, people losing their jobs, and because of this coronavirus and all of this stuff is happening, that's what y'all supposed to have, like a food pantry and stuff, and be doing this stuff, man. But y'all got to, you know, we're relying on the government to come out and feed your children. Like now the schools, I know here when I live in Shelby County, the schools are still closed. While the school was closed, a lot of the children, man, all the way they got really some of these meals is because when they go to school and they got a chance to eat lunch at school. So the schools had to still, when school was out, they still had to provide the children meals. They were taking meals to the children homes and stuff to get make sure they had a meal. That's something we supposed to be doing, having can be doing. All of these big programs and all of these big ass major mega churches and all of this stuff. That's what y'all could be doing. But that's another whole topic in itself. I got another clip I want to play, so I want to get into that about the churches. But I love that people are doing, man, providing for their own and feeding the children. You know, at the like you know kitchens and stuff feeding. That's a great thing. Let's get into this one right here, man, about the assassination. Y'all, because y'all do know, like I said, going into this old J. Edgar Hoover ragless. And don't y'all think that they don't still do this shit today. Don't think this stuff ended. Don't think this was just in the 60s and the 70s. Don't think this was they still do this shit today. They still would do this, take down, put leaders in place, put people into place, informants to take out people. So that's why y'all got to be careful about a lot of shit y'all get into and people y'all who cheerleading y'all rallying around thinking they, you know, they finna lead y'all somewhere. And I would say a name, but I ain't gonna even get into that. It ain't up with the Panthers, though, but it's some other stuff that came up. And I'm gonna say, because I was gonna say, you know, the Panthers were dealing with the guns. I would go this far. It's a gun-toting club, not the Huey P. Newton. Here, premium gun club. I'm gonna make sure it's clear. Not them. I ain't talking about them or nothing. But it's somebody that was. It started with an N. I'd leave it at that. All these guns, and y'all better pay attention. How Joe Biden them coming up with these new gun laws. So y'all going out there and keep watch out there. That's all I'm gonna say. Check it out. Let's play this one right fast.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The Quarantine Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. As Black History Month begins today, we look back at the assassination of Black Panther leader Fred Hampton in Chicago 51 years ago, and how new documents reveal more details about the FBI's role in the murder of the 21-year-old revolutionary. Fred Hampton was killed December 4, 1969, when Chicago police raided his apartment and shot and killed him in his own bed. Black Panther leader Mark Clark was also killed by police in that raid. Authorities initially claimed the Panthers had opened fire on the police who were there to serve a search warrant for weapons. Evidence later emerged that told a very different story. The FBI, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, and Chicago police had conspired to assassinate Fred Hampton. Now, several hundred pages of FBI memos and reports obtained by historian and writer Aaron Leonard through a Freedom of Information Act request document that the director of the FBI's Domestic Intelligence Division, William Sullivan, and the head of the extremist section of the Domestic Intelligence Division, George Moore, both played key roles in planning the raid and the cover-up that followed. For more on what these documents say, we're joined by Flint Taylor and Jeff Haas, founding members of the People's Law Office in Chicago, who are the lead lawyers in the landmark Fred Hampton and Mark Clark civil rights case. Their new piece for Truth Out is headlined, "New Documents Suggest J. Edgar Hoover Was Involved in Fred Hampton's Murder." Jeff Haas, let's begin with you. You wrote a book about Fred Hampton. Talk about what these new documents show and what you see as the smoking gun of J. Edgar Hoover's direct involvement.
Thank you, Amy. Well, first of all, it's 51 years after the incident and 40-some years after the trial. We had never gotten these documents before. But what they showed was that Hoover and Sullivan and Moore were following Roy Mitchell, a special agent in charge, very closely with regard to O'Neill. And they were complimenting him and rewarding him from the moment he gave the information and the floor plan to Special Agent Mitchell. They were congratulating Mitchell on what a wonderful job he did with this informant. Of course, Mitchell got the floor plan, gave it to Hanrahan's police, and that's what led to the raid. The floor plan even showed the bed where Hampton and Johnson would be sleeping. So we knew much of this. We knew O'Neill had gotten a bonus. We never knew Mitchell got a bonus. And we never knew that Hoover and Sullivan and Moore were starting to watch this in November, 10 days before it happened. They were monitoring exactly what went on. And so it was approved at the highest level. And during the trial, we had sought to go up to Sullivan and Moore and Hoover, but the judge wouldn't allow us, and we thought perhaps even John Mitchell and Richard Nixon were involved. We didn't have these documents, so we couldn't uncover that. This also shows that after the raid, the head of the FBI in Chicago met with and congratulated the informant O'Neill, thanked him for his information, which led to the success of the raid. What's also interesting is 51 years later, these documents still have redactions. There's a specific redaction because an FBI agent had been called in front of a grand jury, and he was told if you get asked any questions about blank, which is the FBI, leave the grand jury and report to your higher-ups. A year after the raid, the FBI role and COINTELPRO had never been disclosed. It was only about Hanrahan and the police. So it took us 13 years to uncover that it was COINTELPRO, a program whose objective was disrupt, destroy, and neutralize the Panthers, and specifically prevent the rise of a black messiah like Fred Hampton, who could unify and electrify the masses. It was this FBI program that led to the passing of the floor plan and the 90 shots, and Fred Hampton executed in his bed at 2:30 in the morning on December 4th.
Now, Jeff, the documents also seem to indicate that there was a plan to cover up the FBI's involvement in the raid. Could you talk about that aspect of what you've uncovered?
Yes. At the grand jury, this was a special state grand jury, because the black community was so outraged and there was a lot of pressure, they called a special grand jury. Well, they allowed the FBI agent who talked about who fired the guns, but they didn't allow anybody to talk about the floor plan or the role of the informant, William O'Neill, in setting up the raid and getting a bonus for it. So that was kept quiet. Matter of fact, if there hadn't been a raid at the Media Pennsylvania FBI office, we might never have learned about COINTELPRO.
And in terms of why it's taken so long and there's still redactions on some of these documents, I mean, there's the assassination of President Kennedy, there have been documents released from that. And here we have one radical revolutionary in Chicago, and it's taken so long just to get information about what actually happened.
Well, yes, I think the cover-up continues, and the fact that many of these pages contain redaction, including the information from O'Neill. So the things the FBI has still not released, we think, showing the involvement of higher-ups. We do have a continuous rewarding of Special Agent Roy Mitchell, referring to the success of the raid, how the raid was critical to the role of the FBI. So see, some of these documents are new. But for the next year, Roy Mitchell got congratulated for how well he had handled O'Neill and how important the information had gotten. And they continuously internally called the raid a success, while externally they were hiding it.
I want to bring Flint Taylor into this conversation, co-founder of the People's Law Office in Chicago. You and Jeff were arrested for protesting what you called in the piece the outrageous rulings of the judge and the blatant misconduct of the defense. Can you explain what this trial was, Flint?
Well, this was a trial, 18 months on trial, Jeff and I and others in our office, fighting to get these documents out, fighting to establish the role of the FBI. And we had a judge who was very similar to Judge Hoffman in the Conspiracy 8 trial, which many people may remember. And he was dead set against us. He was originally from Alabama. He was a racist. And he did not believe and would not let us get at the evidence that the FBI was involved in this case. But we were developing this evidence along with the Senate Select Committee, the Church Committee. So we were exposing this evidence both in court and outside of court, and the judge was getting more and more upset with us. And so when we protested the unfair rulings that he was making, he was keeping us from putting Hoover in the case. He was keeping us from putting John Mitchell and the others from Washington Washington in the case, and he was keeping us from getting the documents that showed the bonus to O'Neill, the informant. All of this we were fighting for day and day after day, and when we protested, both of us at various times were held in contempt and sent to the federal lockup here in Chicago. But we kept fighting it. The judge threw the case out after 18 months of trial, believe it or not. He wouldn't let the jury decide the case. We fought to appeal, and we won a remarkable decision in the Court of Appeals, defended it in the U.S. Supreme Court, and 13 years of litigation and fighting to get the evidence out, we were ultimately able to obtain one of the largest, if not the largest, police violence settlement for the families of Mark Clark and Fred Hampton and the surviving Panthers in the history at that time of the federal courts.
And Flint, for the younger members of our audience who really do not understand the role and significance of the Black Panther Party, and for instance, J. Edgar Hoover labeling them the greatest domestic threat to the U.S. government. Hoover was aware by then, although the public found out later, that there had been polling done, secret polling done, that showed that more than 25% of all African Americans at the time supported the Black Panther Party. Could you talk about the party's significance?
Party was very significant, and its leadership was as well. And Fred Hampton was not only an up-and-coming leader, but a very charismatic and dynamic leader. And the Panthers had a 10-point program. That program covered the waterfront with all sorts of revolutionary and socialistic programs, free breakfast program, for example, free medical clinic, for another example, a newspaper that came out every week and talked about the atrocities of the police and the government. It was very much an anti-imperialist organization, fought against the war in Vietnam, said people should not go to Vietnam, opposed mass incarceration before there actually was that term, and also was very strong in setting up and fighting for coalitions between Black, Hispanic, or like the Young Lords, of course you know about that, Warren, Juan, and other organizations, revolutionary and radical organizations. And this is another reason why Hoover feared the Panthers so much, because they were bringing together all sorts of different radical and revolutionary groups, groups against the war in Vietnam. And this was very threatening to the government at that time. And they targeted, under the COINTELPRO program, which was focused to destroy the Black Panther Party, on Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers, because they were so successful here in Chicago.
All right. And y'all noticed in that interview, right? I mean, in that the clip, how they kept using the word radical. Y'all heard that? How they kept using the terminology radical. Yeah. Some good information in there. But also, you already know how the devil got to do, right? You always got to discredit some kind of way out, throw some kind of bullshit. They were radical. Nah, yeah, because they was radical because they was going against y'all bullshit. Shiggity, that what made them radical. All right, sisters and brothers, like I said, I just want to come in here and play something today, and just, you know, make sure I'm getting the echo. I want to come in here, like I said, like I'm just I'm learning a lot this weekend just by watching that movie about Fred Hampton, and like I said, I've seen too, like that he was galvanizing groups, man, that they didn't like. I said, and old J. Edgar Hoover, you know, like I seen some of the groups that they were trying to galvanize and bring together under one power. And like I said, man, these groups like we have out here today, we have a lot of groups and stuff, right? Imagine how powerful you'd be if y'all come together, put aside y'all differences and stuff. You still may have your group, but, you know, we come together as a unified front, right? And, man, just imagine how powerful we can be, right? And overturn this bullshit that's happening to Black people in America. And when I'm going, like they had Brother Fred Hampton, he was going to meet with the, what was they call it? This, I'm going to get the names right. I think they call it, was it Peachstone Rangers? I think it was at the Peachstone Rangers. And there was some other groups. Man, yeah, just a lot, man, that he was trying to do. And he was trying to get them to see, you know, hey, man, we could be a powerful unified front. We come together. And they showed some stuff in that movie, how they did, you know, kind of come together. So, yeah, man, it's like we got to stop this stuff as fighting. You can have your group. You can have your little organization that this person can have his. But y'all got to realize together, though, because you still going through the same shit that he's going through. That's what both of y'all fighting on the same. Y'all fighting maybe in different ways, but y'all still got the same fucking problem. You still got the same problem at the core. You still have the same problem. You still have the same adversary. And that's what we have to realize. It's the adversary that's our problem, not each other. The adversary is the one who's causing the problem. And another thing that they showed in that, how when they found out through that informant, and y'all really, any group that y'all have, y'all best to believe you got some kind of fucking informant. If y'all a group that's about doing something and y'all having changes because of y'all groups, you best to believe there's somebody in there. Either they already in there as an infiltrator, or they might do something to get compromised, and they're going to start infiltrating, selling off what y'all doing. You best to believe it, man. You better believe it. Don't you ever think that shit ain't going to happen to you. Well, it ain't going to happen to us. We know we tight. Now, okay. The homie next to you, your top general, your top soldier, may just be the goddamn working with the feds, or he may be fed. I'm just telling y'all. I'm just telling you. Anyway, how they were with Brother Fred Hampton, even after, you know, Fred met with the Peachstone Rangers and stuff, right, and tried to, you know, make the coalition come together, and they heard about it, the FBI, show you how dirty they are. They wrote letters to the Peachstone Rangers and stuff, to saying that Fred Hampton was trying to kill them and wanted to shoot them up and, you know, assassinate their leaders and all that old kind of stuff. I've heard that even happened with Karanga and the Panthers, how the FBI was sending Mona Karanga, sending them letters, talking about the Panthers want to, you know, do something to them, and they'd turn around in return, sending the Black Panthers letters saying that Karanga and his group wanted to do something to the Panthers. That's how they do, man. So it's a lot of shit that probably going on with Black people in America while we're fighting each other. You never know who's setting all that shit up to causing this division. So who's behind the division that's causing us not to come together? See, this is a deep thing. You don't know who's sincere amongst you. Judas sit amongst you all the time. Judas, I remember even with the Wabian organization. Hell, Judas is with the S's. Y'all hear me trying to put them S's in there. More than one. Plural. Plenty of them was in there. Plenty of them was in there to knock down Dr. York. I know the people that probably don't like them or whatnot, you know, say the hell. But y'all should believe some Judas's in there. Y'all don't really know what happened with it. With a case. Now, I'm not trying to take over. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the main bedroom. But I'm just doing an example because it's something I was with. And there's a lot of shit that happened after the fact. We're finding out years later, just like with this here, with the guy William O'Neill, you know, and he was an informant. Y'all got to just be careful, man. No, you don't know. Be honest, you don't know who's around you. Your most sincere general, your most sincere soldier can be working against you. Y'all might even have some of the leaders of these motherfucking organizations might get compromised and turn on y'all. Still have y'all thinking, I'm the leader. I'm trying to lead y'all in the right direction for the right cause. And he getting that money bag under the table. That happens too. So it ain't just people who in the organization who's under the leader. The leader might be fed. I'm going to use the word fed. He might be compromising to the freedom and justice of our people. All right, y'all, this is my last one, and I'm getting up out of here. I'm going to play this one here, and I'm out of here. I'm through talking, and I'm just going to play this one to end it out. I thank y'all for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Most definitely in the house is another interview with the brother Fred Hampton. Peace and black power, and most definitely power to the people, man. Y'all be safe out there. I know we got this winter storm is doing this thing. I ain't going to say wreaking havoc, but it's doing this thing as nature supposed to do and cleanse. And I know y'all been thinking that I was thinking about this from two sisters and brothers, how, you know, they've been telling everybody need to stay in the house and quarantine and stuff like that to stop the spread. Well, I tell y'all what, shit, ain't nothing stopping the spread more than nature right now. Nature's stopping everybody. Nature said, everybody get y'all ass in the house and stay in the house. So nature said, hey, put the snow and it's cold and everybody in the house right now. Everybody in quarantine. Because like I said, man, I know this city here in Memphis, man, we on lockdown from the snow and ice. You know what I'm saying? Ain't too many days. You might get out there and put your mask on to get your ass out here and go out in the street and go club what you want to. It's ice saying, I'm finna shut everything down. Ain't nothing finna open. If your ass ain't really got open, you ain't going out that house. Damn your mask. I'm shutting it down. Yes, sir. So nature's showing that it's still, says the Most High, still showing its power. And so, yes, sir. So y'all be careful out there, man. I know there's a lot of places there, a lot of power outages and things in the United States. Y'all try to do y'all due diligence to stay warm. Look out for your elders. And if they short on food, people short on food, if you got a little something, hey, man, look out for your brother, man, and your sister, man, your elders, like I said, for sure, the children, man, the babies, and do what you can to help each other in these times that we're going through right now with the weather and just not just on with the weather, but anytime, just try to do this, man. Don't just look at these brothers like what Fred Hampton was doing. You can do it, too. You know, we have to keep these things going. We can't let when one brother or sister get killed in the movement, we just shut it down and, you know, wait on somebody else. You may be the next one to, and not trying to say nobody just come out here and just try to be no superhero. No, it got to be truly in your heart. It got to truly be a desire that there's something you're passionate about, something for real. Not just don't try to get up and run your ass out here because you want to be a superstar. No, superstars don't last long. They have called falling stars. So don't be a goddamn falling star. And just be, take it from the heart. If you want to do it. Get out here and be sincere to the people, man. Be sincere to the people or for the people. And we know some of those who are truly sincere. It'll come out and time will tell who's real and who's the fake. All right. Peace, y'all. I thank y'all. But like I said, one more time to tune in to Culture Freedom Radio Network. The way y'all can stay connected and stay locked up with us. Well, on the social media, you can link up with us and catch us on right there. It's on Twitter at Culture Freedom 9 on Twitter. Other than that, you can email us if you got any questions or comments or whatever. You can hit us up right there at culturefreedom.org@gmail.com. That's culturefreedom.org@gmail.com. If any questions, comments, show ideas or something like that you would probably want us to touch on or something I might have said in one other show or something, hey, hit us up right there at that email address. Let me see what else. Yeah, catch us right there, like I said, on all the distributing sites at iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, and much, much more. Just Google search Culture Freedom Radio Network, and you will find us in the house somewhere. Man, shout out and tribute to Brother Fred Hampton, the late great Fred Hampton, man. Rest in power, my brother. Man, rest in power. I know you organizing out there in the other realm of life. I don't want to say heavens, y'all, but out there in the other realms, I know you're still organizing because that seemed to be what you were destined to do. Just hearing your words, hearing that power in your voice, and hearing, man, that educational level of revolution that you have. If they cutting up somewhere in another realm, I'm pretty sure and it's been some deceptive. You have organized and you are keeping the power going. You're powering the people, man. And I thank you, Brother Fred Hampton. I thank to the family. My condolences still, because like I said, I didn't know. And Brother Fred Hampton Jr., keep doing your thing, brother. Keep trying to organize and revolutionize the people. Let them know we got to fight the good fight and keep up the good fight. And don't let the legacy die, y'all. Keep it up. Keep it up. Peace and black power, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. And I'll leave y'all with this one right here. Peace.
It's Roll One Frompson interview with camera left Fred Hampton, H-A-M-P-T-O-N, Deputy Chairman of the Illinois Panther Party. Camera right, David Hilliard, H-I-L-L-I-A-R-D, Chief of Staff, National Black Panther Party. Gentlemen, what do you think the demonstrations on the first day of the trial accomplished?
I think that they were very educational in the sense that they exposed further the fascist characteristics of the courts in racist America. What happened to Bobby today was very characteristic of Nazi Germany. The judge, Julius J. Hoffman, is the champion of fascism. The man is a mechanical fascist in a robe. He's a lunatic, and he needs to be removed from the court system.
Well, those are words. I mean, specifically, what is it that's bothering you about the judge and what happened in the courtroom?
First of all, the man is an old, senile fascist, as I mentioned. He's not a man that's capable of rendering any justifiable decisions in anybody's regards. I think he's proved that many times. So we see that the only possible way that Bobby can get a fair trial in any courts, not just in Chicago, is by having a jury of his own peers. And that the only justice would definitely be rendered when the people themselves make decisions in regards of revolutionaries.
Are the Panthers concerned with the other seven defendants as well as Bobby Seale? You mentioned Seale's name specifically.
Bobby's our leader, and we're most definitely concerned primarily about Bobby. The other seven defendants were involved in the so-called conspiracy, and we see them as being a very necessary factor in the case. But we're not going to put all of our weight on those individuals. We need our leader. Bobby is the leader not only of the black community, but the man is the leader of the white community too, if those people are talking about moving in a revolutionary fashion. We don't make distinctions between the white and black communities. These people consider themselves revolutionaries, so we say that they will have to react from a revolutionary standpoint of view. We don't support their anarchist strategies that they're so used to exemplifying. But we are concerned about those individuals.
Do you think that there is more that you agree on and disagree on as far as the white, middle-class, radical left and the Panthers?
We'll deal with that.
I think that we agree with a lot of things they do, but I couldn't say it with more things than we disagree with, you know. And when you say that, it's hard to say, and I don't even know if I want to say that really, because that's a hard question to answer because it's not specific enough. You know, there's so many groups. You have to get more specific and talk about specific groups and specific people. Because, like he said, there are a lot of people that are anarchists. We don't support that in any group. And I think that's the criteria we should use for judging people. You know, and I think that's the criteria we have to use for judging organizations, you know, that whether or not they, you know, support the ideology of spontaneity or whether they believe in, you know, revolutionary theory, you know, and putting that revolutionary theory into some type of revolutionary practice. And, you know, but some people don't do that. Those people that don't do that, and not saying whether they're more or less, those people that don't do that, we can't support that. We can't support anarchism on the part of blacks, whites, reds, yellow, anybody else. And I think that a lot of this, what we call anarchism, you know, I think it's, you know, on the borderline, a lot of it is even past the borderline of being a provocation instigated by some of these pigs, you know.
I think that we should reiterate on your first question. First of all, Bobby, as I stated earlier, is the leader of what people consider a vanguard organization, and that they earned that role not by choice, but through many lives that have been lost as a result of our struggle. So that the other individuals involved in the trial or the conspiracy with Bobby are people that will have to take directions from people that have engaged in struggle and have obtained the vanguard role through their very actions. So the very fact that these individuals are involved in a case with our chairman seems to reflect sometimes that critics from individuals sort of a racist attitude, and that the whole trial could be dangerously damaged if people see it in that light. So we most definitely do not advocate a split to that degree. All we want to do is to make sure that these people get a day in court where they will be judged by a reasonable, sane person and not a lunatic like the judge that he's got, you know.
What you're saying is you expect a conviction.
I'm saying that I expect a conviction not on the merits of the case, but because the man up there is not capable of giving anybody any justice. I think that the reason he's maintained his position so long is because of his kangarooism, because of his ability to railroad people through the court systems. I see that the whole systems of America is being stockpiled with lunatics and psychopaths, with fascists, all the way down from Attorney General Mitchell. And this is what we have to face. And I think it's up to the American public at large.
May I say that when we assess it?
I think that our position in regards to the other individuals in the trial brings on whether or not they're able to follow decisions handed down by people that are considered as the vanguard. And whether they accept that or not is a matter of fact. And that one of the criteria that they could use for judging whether or not we're the revolutionary vanguard is extended with the invitation to the Algerian cultural festival, whereas only the Black Panther Party was extended invitations out of all the other black organizations in America. So that when these people begin to refuse to follow directions handed down by leaders of the American Revolution, and we see them as being somewhat anarchist.
Well, are you saying that there's a difference in view about tactics, specifically in your relations with the police? In other words, what the radical whites are doing as compared to what the Panthers are doing?
There's a most definite difference. These people oftentimes promote situations where numerous of people maimed, brutalized, or killed, and we classify this as being criminal. And criminality is something that we definitely are opposed to, and that's why we take our uncompromising position against the police. So when they move in directions like that, they're actually part in part moving with the forces of repression.
Well, would you say that the demonstration today was in any way a provocation to the police or not?
Yes, I think it was definitely a provocation of the police, you know, because, you see, it was made clear through all the people that spoke for the Black Panther Party that we were down there for one thing and one thing only, to show massive support around Chairman Bobby Seale. And if anything, when there were even a chance, when there was even a chance of an outbreak, the party tried to quell its outbreak with its field marshals and the people that was on the microphone at the time that the outbreak occurred. But even with all of the vigilance that the party had displayed and most of the black people in the crowd, we still had some anarchists, whatever you want to call them, provocateurs, people that tried to overshadow what we were trying to do down there for Chairman Bobby. And even today, this evening, I found a situation where people in the in Babylon are trying to overshadow some of the good that the Black Panther Party is trying to do. And we're supposed to be opening up a free medical center with absolutely free medical care for the people on 16th and Springfield, west side of Chicago. And a group of people on the west side of Chicago told us that they didn't want us to open that medical center, a group of young people over there. And they didn't give us any logical reasons that they didn't want us to open the medical center except that this area that the medical center was in, quote unquote, they ran it. This was their turf, you know. And what I'm saying is that there's nothing about the medical center that is not good for the people. And we don't know whether we're going to open or not, because we're not going to allow anyone to belittle us or to grab us by our revolutionary coattails and drag us down into humbug and gangbang style of attacking the problem. We're going to open the health clinic, no matter where we open it, we're going to open it, and we think that the people in that community will force these provocateurs and these idiots to allow the health center to be open in that community, because it's going to do nothing but good for the people.
Well, specifically with regard to what's been going on around the federal building and what's likely to happen the rest of the week, and even in the future, as long as the trial goes on, what are going to be the tactics that the Panthers advocate? Are there going to be more demonstrations?
We certainly hope to show massive force. We hope to surmount our numbers daily in the same reflection that you saw with the Huey Newton trial. This is one means for educating the people about the conditions that black people are subjected to within the fascist judiciary system of the United States of America. But I think the high point of what we're talking about could best be summed up by dealing with the criminal situation that we have been subjected to, not just with our coalition with our white counterparts, but more so with the judges, with the people that supposedly run the federal buildings. The federal building is a public facility. We have to obtain permits in order to have people come and witness the terror and the fascism that's being meted out against members of our party. And we're going to stop obtaining permits. The people have a right to be there, and we don't have to beg or ask them to give us approval for checking and seeing how they're passing decisions against our leaders.
What are you suggesting that you're going to do?
We're suggesting that we're going to be there in numbers, whether they like it or not.
Outside the building.
Outside and inside the motherfucker.
You're going to try to go inside the building without passes.
We don't have to have passes to get in there. The building is a public facility. It's supposed to be a building that represents the attitudes and the goodwill of the people. So we're going to make them exemplify that particular area of our Constitution. They cannot lock the doors on us. The people have violated all Bobby's constitutional rights, and we want the masses to be there to judge that situation as it is.
Given the situation as it is, wouldn't this be the kind of provocation that you want to avoid, you say you want to avoid?
We're not going there for any provocation. If people were going to war, I'm most certain that they would have guns and ammunition. We're not coming with any guns. We're coming to watch the so-called authorities of justice carry out their duty. So if there's any acts of provocation, the provocation will come from the pigs, like it always is. They're the ones that start the riots. They're the ones that go around with big, long sticks and 357 Magnums whooping people, not the masses. We don't advocate anybody bringing any guns to the federal courthouse, but we do advocate the people assembling there massively to protest their dissatisfaction at the way that they're treating our chairman of the Black Panther Party and the other seven individuals that's involved in the so-called conspiracy, which is very absurd.